two trips to Kenya and Tanzania. And I know we started traveling in September of last year, but I don't see it mentioned here. He must have forgotten that because he traveled with me to India also. So I guess I was the forgettable part in that. That happens all the time. He doesn't need any introduction, so I'll just tell you that I'm happy to be here tonight to be able to listen to him. So I give you Apostle Smith Brickhouse.
Thank you, Dennis. It is good to be here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the opportunity. It's always good to be in the body of Christ and among my brothers and sisters, and it's a blessing to me. And it's been a blessing for me to be here the last 3 or 4 days or whatever it is now, and to partake of the prayer services and the Psalm Assembly and to hear the prayers and the testimonies and of God's answer to those prayers and His miraculous power and His healing spirit. And I'm thankful for each one of your prayers for me in my times of trials and my afflictions last year and a half or 2 years or whatever it is now. And I have been richly been blessed, which I'm thankful. And the Lord has heard your prayers and heard your prayers of your brothers and sisters around the world. I'm going to talk a little bit about my last trip to Africa, just very shortly. And because I told everybody there that I'd send the greetings to my brothers and sisters in America from your brothers and sisters in Kenya and Tanzania. I traveled with Bill and Karen Malone and my wife Sue. We were there 5 weeks. We were busy. Our days were filled, if not with administrative things, with preaching and teaching and visiting the congregations. And we spent 4 or 5 days just visiting homes, walking up and down the mountains and wherever, and going into the homes and sitting down and talking with the children and the parents and telling them that they were important to the Church of Christ. And their brothers and sisters in America were praying for them. We early in our trip, we had a baptism service, this is our brother Bill, and we were able to baptize, I think it was either 6 or 8 people, Bill did. We find that in many cases in Africa, in Kenya at least, the local ministry is handling most of the baptisms. We were given a handful of baptism forms to turn in at the time we were there. But this was a small congregation, somebody right before Bill got down into the water, somebody had emptied the water out of that spot. They had dammed that up, so we had to wait. And I thought we were going to lose Bill because he sunk into the mud about up to his knees. But it was a blessing. It was a blessing. There was a lady that was crippled, cane. I don't remember all the things she was wrong with her, a lame foot. And I passed her walking out of the church. And I wondered what she was going to do because we were walking down the hill. Steep hill. I stopped and talked to somebody. I continued to walk and I passed up this lady that was ahead of me, walking with her crutches. Got down to the bottom of the hill. I thought she probably lived that way or something. Got down to the bottom of the hill and I looked up and she was standing next to me. How in the world she got there? But she was not going to miss the opportunity to see some young brothers and sisters come into the body of Christ and give their life for Jesus Christ. And it was really a blessing to me to see her there. You know, that walk back up that hill didn't seem half as bad that I thought it was going to be. It was a blessing. One of our days we were visiting, and I showed this picture, because that young man in the middle there with that yellow tie, I believe his name is Zedekiah. And I had met him a couple of years ago on my last trip, and he was in Magawa, I think, and attending there, and my wife had promised to bring him a book, and we had been in Magawa a couple days earlier, and we didn't see him. Well, he's from Motengo Chingo, if I have the name right. And he couldn't wait for us to come and visit his parents. He had gone home, and he told his parents about the Church of Christ. And he had friends and brothers and sisters in America. And they didn't believe him. And they were just absolutely tickled when we were in their house. And he was smiling and smiling there, and it was a blessing to all of us. The home visits were really wonderful. And we were the ones who were blessed on it by it. This is our brother and sister there in Kilgores. They're of the Maasai. They take colorful pictures. And small congregation. I don't know how many members there. Six, eight members? You know, Brian? In Kilgores? Wake up, Brian. But he's out trying to outreach to the Maasai people, another tribe. Years past, they're enemies to the Kisis. They fought, they warred. Since the time we've been going there, they'd have raids on one another. Well, he lives right near the border, and he's trying to bring his people to Jesus Christ, and he'd appreciate your prayers. He's got a whole covey full of kids. I think she's carrying the 11th child. He's going to have his own congregation. Here's a congregation in Tanzania, and it's a brand new congregation. I think the name of it is Sangabella, something like that. I had never been there before. Brian and Dwayne had been. The reason I picked this slide was the kids sitting down in front. That's about a third of the kids that were there by the time the service opened. I think Sue took this picture in the pre-service activities. And there were, 60 kids sitting there that tall, all for an hour, hour and a half, quiet. It's really amazing. And if they do get a little out of line, everybody is their parent. Yeah. And I don't have any idea what Sue's doing. But Sue was, the ladies taught Sunday school in every congregation that they could. Some in the homes, and sometimes they had to have two classes. And they got everybody in the congregation up. And I think they're singing, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And it's good lessons. You could preach about it after they were done. They were good stories. I see some of the kids here with the Heroes of the Book of Mormon books, storybooks for kids, great books. They taught out of those in each of the congregations. And I actually think the adults enjoyed it as much, if not more, than the kids. It was a joy to see the males, the chauvinists of the bunch, not really wanting to participate, but they had more fun once they got going. So it was a real blessing. This happens to be that congregation. She was teaching that Sunday school class, and I walked away from it because it's typical of where our beginning meetings are when we go to a new congregation, underneath the shade tree. Beautiful spots. We had a wonderful service there. Happens to be in a village where we had a small congregation there. It kind of fell apart, but there's some new members or people that are interested. These are just interested people in Changuge, or I think is the name of it. And we had a wonderful service there, and it was a blessing. And, it reminds me, you have in your mind services that you've been at that you remember all your life. And those type of situations remind me of being down at the co-op in southern Missouri, meeting in the morning at a sunrise service underneath the trees. And you just feel the Spirit of God there in abundance. And I'm thankful for those. That's my pictures on Africa. It was a blessing to be back. I was strong. I was able to get around every day. Sue bore a testimony about some of the problems I had, but they were non-issues, and I was really thankful. I hope tonight to bring some words and to put some things together, and I have been having a little trouble getting them together, but I'd like to talk some about the prophecies of God relating to the last days. I'd like to talk some about the prophecies or the promises of God to Israel. Not a lot of them, just a few of them. I want to talk about prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled that we can look forward to. And I want to talk about the day and the time that we live, our situation, where we are in those prophecies. And so I hope and pray that the Lord will direct the service tonight, and that we will get an understanding of what it is I believe that the Lord has for us. Those of you that have traveled with me know I use these three scriptures a lot. Hebrews 13:8, Amos 3:7, and Isaiah 8:20. I use them because we all know them. But I want us to focus in on it. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve a God and His Son, Jesus Christ, that never changed. And the promises and the prophecies and the commandments stand today just as they did thousands of years ago. And we can find these things. They're written in the scriptures, and it's the truth, the absolute truth in the world, the source of truth. And we are to live by them that we might live eternally. Amos, the 3rd chapter, 7th verse. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealed His secret unto His servants, the prophets. From the beginning of time, God has talked to the prophets and told us of things that would come to pass. We're going to talk about some of those, because then we're going to talk about some of them that have come to pass and some that haven't, to show of the surety that these things God has says they're going to happen. They will, in fact, happen, because He never changes. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Our standards, the two records that we have, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, those things that we're to judge all things by, the prophecies that are to be fulfilled, the commandments and the promises of God that are going to come to pass, that are coming to pass, and we can see them in the day and the time that we live. So I brought those with that hope that we think about those things. Now, I have just a few slides. Here we have the Israelites coming out of Egypt, getting bitten by the poisonous snakes, and Moses putting a serpent up on a brazen cross, and all they had to do is look to be saved. You know, foretelling of a coming of a Jesus Christ who is going to be put up on a cross and die for the sins of mankind, and what we have to do to look to Him to be saved, our Lord and Savior. We have the example of the Book of Mormon, of Lehi, and the Leona, that curious object that he's holding that was like a compass, and it worked by the faith of man. And as long as they were obedient, as long as they were humbled, as long as they prayed, it pointed the way for them to walk. Showing us today, we're to get on our knees, we're to be humble, we're to serve God, we're to put our faith and trust in His Word and His promises, and let us lead us in the direction that we're to walk. We have a prophet here. This is a picture of Daniel interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the image there over Nebuchadnezzar's head. That image that he saw in a dream standing before him. That image never stood at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. It was talking about something and kingdoms that would last and but would not stand in all in one piece for 2,500 years or 2,400 and some, whatever the number is. Telling of an event that would happen in the future when the kingdom of God would be set up on earth and the church would be restored. That happened, I guess I don't know the year, but many years before the birth of Christ. And the dream was in 600, I guess, or so. And here that image stood, saw and fulfilled it, given to God by for us that we would know. We would know to search for its coming. We know and recognize it has come, and it was a fulfillment, and it was showing forth the restoration of the Church of Christ. Surely the Lord God will do nothing except he revealed his word to his servants. Prophecy, you know, this is a picture of course Christ. He's in Jerusalem. Happens to be teaching the Sermon on the Mount. Telling us, you know, to seek first the kingdom of God. Telling us to be humble and submissive. Telling us how to walk our lives. Teaching that same thing in the American continent. Because he never changes. Showing us that these things have come to pass and are true. While there, he talked about that he had other sheep that weren't of the fold of Jerusalem, but they too would hear his voice and be his people. Speaking of the people here on this continent, here's a picture showing that Christ came and walked among them. Fulfillment. It's in the prophecies. It's in the archaeology. It's in the history. It's in the traditions, showing us that the examples are true. Showing us that where we are to place our faith and trust in a Jesus Christ that never changes. We read in the scriptures of prophecies for the last day, and I'd like to turn to Genesis in the 49th chapter and start in the first verse. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Calling his sons together and telling them, this is what's going to happen to your descendants in the last days. Going over to verse 25, we find that the promise upon Joseph, that same Joseph that was sold by his brethren in Egypt, says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the beast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brother. Talking about a promised land, talking about a mighty land that would be a blessing to Israel in the last days, even the land of the Americas, the land of promise, the land that we're fortunate enough to live in. And we see the fulfilling, the blessings of heaven, the blessings of the deep, the blessings of that lieth beneath, a country that has all the natural resources and the blessings of God upon it. at least it says, until we, as long as we serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. In 2 Nephi, 11th chapter, starting in the 80th verse, But behold, I prophesy unto you concerning the last days, concerning the days when the Lord shall bring these things forth unto the children of men. After that, my seed and the seed of my brethren shall have dwindled in unbelief and shall have been smitten by the Gentiles. Yea, after that, the Lord shall have camped against them round about and shall have laid siege against them with a mount and with raised forts against them. And after that they shall have been brought down low in the dust, even that they are not, yet the words of the righteous shall be written. And the prayers of the faithful shall be heard, and all they which have dwindled in unbelief shall be forgotten. For they which shall be destroyed shall speak unto them out of the ground, and their speech shall be low out of the dust. And their voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit. For the Lord God will give unto him power that he may whisper unto them, even as it were out of the ground, and their speech shall whisper out of the dust. For thus saith the Lord God, they shall write the things which shall be done among them, and they shall be written and sealed up in a book. And they that have dwindled in unbelief shall not have them, for they seek to destroy the things of God. Wherefore, as they which have been destroyed speedily, and the multitude of the terrible ones have been as chaff that passed away. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall be in an instant, suddenly. And it shall come to pass that they which have dwindled in unbelief shall be smitten by the hand of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block, that they have built up many churches. Nevertheless, they put down the power and the miracles of God and preach unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And these are many churches built up, which cause envies and strifes and malice. There is also secret combinations, even as in the times of old, according to the combinations of the devil, for he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder and the works of darkness. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord, until he bindeth them with strong cords forever. Talking about the people on this land, and they fell away. But they would keep a record. And they're talking about that the Gentiles would smite them and drive them to and fro, just as we know from the history of our nation, we did to the Native American people. Prophesied, because they turned from the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. Mighty miracles, their record to come forth in the last days, that we would have them and know of God's working among them. And they would know who they are, that they're descendants of Joseph, that Saint Joseph that received the blessing of his father. A sign for us to know the day and the time that we live in. If we turn to 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. This know also that in the last days again, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. All those things that we see come to pass in our culture, showing us once again of the day and the time that we live in. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth or to believe it when they see it. Caught up in the cares and the trials and temptations of the world and their pride. In 2 Peter, in the third chapter, starting with verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Choosing not to believe, not having faith, now enduring, going off and scoffing and laughing and mocking. For this they willingly are ignorant of. They choose not to believe that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then was being overflowed with water perished. Not believing the things that are written and foretold and the witness of the archaeological finds and historical data that's available to them. Choosing not to believe. Drunken in iniquity, it said in 2 Nephi. Lost up in the things of the world. Prophesied that it would come in the future many years. And we see it, a fulfillment of it. Knowing that the scriptures are true. That these things come to pass. And the things that have been, there are many things that have been prophesied and come to pass. Moses showed that Jesus Christ would be lifted up on the cross and be crucified for our sins and would raise once again. And now we have to look forward to him. We know that he did. We just celebrated his resurrection yesterday. Second Nephi 5. Starting in the 10th verse. Wherefore I will read you the words of Isaiah. And they are the words which my brother had desired with me that I should speak unto you. Our brothers and sisters, this is written 600 years or 570 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. They had the records of Isaiah. They knew of the promises of God and the prophecies. And they quoted them and believed it, looked forward to these things. Wherefore I will read you the words of Isaiah. And they are the words which my brother hath desired me that I should speak unto you. And I speak unto them for your sakes that you may learn and glorify the name of your God. And now the words which I shall read are the words Isaiah spoke concerning all the house of Israel. Wherefore they may be likened unto you, for ye are of the house of Israel. And there are many things which have been spoken by Isaiah, which may be likened unto you because that ye are the house of Israel. And now these are the words. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers and thy queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their faces towards the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. God's promises that he'll redeem Israel. God's using the Gentiles as instruments in his hands. But promising that they will be lifted up and brought home to that land of their inheritance. Verse 36. And behold, according to the words of the prophet, the Messiah shall set himself again the second time to recover them. Wherefore he will manifest himself unto them in power and great glory unto the destruction of their enemies when the day cometh when they shall believe in him. And none will be destroyed that believe in him. And they that believe not in him shall be destroyed, both by fire and by tempest and by earthquakes, and by bloodsheds and by pestilence and by famine. And they shall know that the Lord is God, the Holy One of Israel. The workings and promises of God of a time. Over in verse 45. He's saying, have I divorced you? No, he hadn't divorced you. I will not forsake you. I will remember you in the last days and lift you up and bless you. And I will gather you in. Verse 50 says, behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I come, there was no man. When I called, there was none to answer. O house of Israel, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers in wilderness and their fish to stink because the waters are dried up and they died because of thirst. I clothed the heavens with blackness, and I made sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, and I shall know how to speak a word in season unto thee, O house of Israel. God will bless. He will send and raise up those people that will be able to preach and to teach and to call home. They will whisper, and it will be a day when Israel will be redeemed, and his people will be gathered together. In Micah, the Old Testament, third chapter, starting in verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations that call upon you, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. He'll pour out his blessings upon them. Over in the fourth verse. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in a stall, protected by Almighty God. And you shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day which I shall do this, saith the Lord God of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, what I commanded him in her for all Israel with the statutes and judgment. We have a forthcoming, talking in Ezekiel of the two nations being, the two records being kept. talking in 2 Nephi in the 12th chapter, that those two nations would run together and witness, and that things would be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. But I'd like to turn to Jeremiah. In the 23rd chapter. Starting in the 5th verse. I'm having trouble here. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. That I will rise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the day hath come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They won't even be talking about that anymore. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. The gathering of his people in the last days. That miraculous happening will be the things that they will remember, even the forgetting about that the Lord brought them out of Egypt and used Moses to lead them. In the 16th chapter of Jeremiah, starting in the 14th verse. Therefore, behold, the day has come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that bringeth up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord. And they shall fish them. And after I will send for many hunters. And they shall hunt for them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. For my eyes are upon all their ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. And first he'll recompense their iniquity and their sins. But he'll call them forth. Going to send fishers. Going to send hunters. And I've brought us this far for a reason. Because now he's getting close to that day and the time that we live. We're his people. We're Israel, for we aren't by inheritance, we are by adoption, or through that inheritance of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're those fishers that he has for us today, and we see his workings among us. We read of the blessings of the missionary outreaches in the far reaches of the world, and this gospel of the kingdom being preached as a witness. But I want us to look now, not at everybody else, you know, like I do when I read that scripture a lot of times. You know, these are events that really don't affect me. Or they're going to come and maybe I'm part of them. We're it. I want you to reach down and think about yourself. Think about yourself being a fisher of men. Think of yourself as being a fisherman. Think of yourself sitting on the bank of a river. Got a cane pole, bobber, a little worm. Throw it out. You sit there. That's one way to fish. Another way to fish is to walk the creek beds up and down, searching for the fish, in effect, hunting for them. You know, I have a brother-in-law who loves to fish. I call him like a meat hunter. I mean, you know, he really gets serious about it. I was fishing for goldfish one time with him and got mad at me. I missed it. But I went fishing with him years ago down in Tennessee when I lived there. And I walked into the bait store with him. Now, this is a guy that he fishes from a 16-foot aluminum boat with a 20-year-old outboard motor and a Zebco 33 rod and reel. And believe me, you'd like to catch the fish he catches. I go into a bait store with him, and the first thing he does, he asks for night crawlers. Opens it up, and he proceeds to throw three-quarters of them out and keeps a few. I was embarrassed. Bought some, he paid for them all. Then he bought some more, and he picked them through, and he says, you know, these guys drive around in their, well, at that time, $10,000 boats, and, you know, on big motors and everything. Fish don't see any of that. They see the worm. So we have to present those things as a worm. You know, oh, then he'd blow them up with air and make so they wiggled and everything. You know, he caught a lot of fish. And, you know, people would laugh at him, but he caught fish. But, you know, it's part of the thing I'm trying to bring out is he presented the prize in a way that it was enticing to the fish. He studied it. He knew what kind of bait they used. He made a career out of it to some extent. And that's what we have to do. When we're out witnessing or fishing for souls or presenting the gospel, you know, what they're going to see is the truth. They're going to see our lives. They're going to see how we present it and how we react to the diversity and problems and how we love one another. And are we allowing God to direct us in our life? Brother told us. Are we prepared to do the will of God, or are we out doing our own will? And so I want us to think of those things and to walk away with some thoughts in your mind of looking down upon yourself and where you stand in your quest to serve God. Are we, you know, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Or are we allowing other things to draw us away? Are we focused on the mark? Are we focused on a standard of Christ? Is He our standard? Is He the authority and for that from which we get all truth? Are we presenting it in our daily walk in life? I'd like to turn to Isaiah in the 62nd chapter. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteous thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and the land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall the sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. He will bless His church, His bride. He will watch over them and bless them and present them for His glory. It goes on in that chapter and talks about some different things. It goes on, a brother read a scripture this afternoon. think it was, sorry, this morning, about being a peculiar people and being God's people, to being a holy priesthood, to being the banner of Christ in these last days, the thing that presents him in our daily walk in life. This is a picture that I really enjoyed. I used it some in Africa. It's a depiction of the tree of life and Lehi's dream and Nephi's interpretation of it. It means a lot to me. It has a lot in it for us. And I want us to think about that. And you know, the desire, that fruit that was so desirous above all other fruit. Lehi saw that dream and he desired of it. He noticed that there was a large, spacious field, and there was that tree with that beautiful fruit that he wanted, and he partook of it, and he desired that his sons and his wife would and beckoned them to come. He noticed that there was a rod of iron that led to that tree. And alongside of that rod was a straight and narrow path. He noticed that there was a river running near, close by, and that that water separated itself from that large and spacious field. He noticed that there was so they're walking here out of a darkness, and they're coming towards that light. You see that mist around them. We see some hanging onto the rod and some walking. We see some wandering off, seemingly getting lost. We see some in that large and spacious building, laughing and mocking and waving. And it's talking about the situation that Lehi and those lived in. It's talking about us today. And it's telling us, be firm. We're going to go through, the interpretation that most of us know. The rod of iron is the word of God. And we're to hang on to it and cleave on to it and allow it to direct us in our life. The large and spacious building of the cares and the pride and things of the world and the love thereof and the mist of darkness is the trials and the temptations and the things that we allow our life to take over, and we forget about the Word of God. And we begin to take off, we might not. The danger is that we would take off and lead on a path that we wouldn't reach the goal in the fruit and the love of God, of eternal life. That we would be lost to it. And so we have this. To show us, to me, is I can look at something and remember it, and I can think about all the different aspects of it. And you know, that mist of darkness, it's telling us, there's going to be so many things in our walk of life that separates us from God in our daily walk of life. It might be unbelief. It might be the desire to be ignorant. It might be a desire to believe but not to put it in practice. It might be cares of the world. It might be our pride, a lust, selfishness. But I think it's it's a combination of a lot of things. And I just want us to think about our own lives and where we put our priorities and our time and our efforts in our prayers. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? We see that the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. We see that this is the dream. We can see it in our lives. We know that the last days are here by the time that in the conditions of the world that we live in. And are we preparing ourselves? Are we being steadfast and immovable? Are we allowing God to direct us, or are we getting caught up in the little things? Somebody here this weekend, bore a testimony of somebody asking Brother Kevin, old Brother Kevinus, of why we have to attend church. The parable that he told about the pencil, and he, you know, can you break it? One could break it. They put two together, could break it, put three, and they ended up getting a stack of them, and they were bound together, and the strongest person couldn't break it. Are we missing that blessing in our life and not meeting with the body of Christ to be bound together then to them in unity, to hearing their prayers and their problems and their concerns and their blessings, to hearing the word of God preached, to being among them and sitting down at the dinner table with them, talking with them, socializing and living with them, with the body of Christ, that we might be strong, that we might remember to hang on and be reminded and can remind others to hang on to the rod of iron, that we too might arrive at the tree, and that we might be steadfast, and we might bring fruit meet for perfection. And so we have this wonderful dream, this wonderful picture that we have, that the Lord has provided for us to get a snapshot and to then to look in our lives and see, are we about ready to let go of the rod? Have we started out on the path? Have we entered into the way? Have we repented of our sins, and have we been baptized and committed ourselves to Jesus Christ? Or are we wandering off there in that pride and the cares of the world and allowing the confusion of all the culture that we live in to draw us away? Are we allowing some of the good things in the world to take over? You know, good things. Time with our families, the sporting events, fishing, hunting, camping, whatever it means. Is it keeping us from the body of Christ? We have to check ourselves to make sure, because the Lord is telling us this is what we're walking in. We might not see it. We might not remember it as we're walking, but he's warning us. There's forces. There's a mist of darkness around us that is drawing us away. And he's saying, come, get on the path. Hang on to the rod of iron. Understand it. Know it. Present it. Tell others. Be those fishers. Look for those of your brothers and sisters, your family, your neighbors, whoever it is. Look for them and present the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, that they might be come into the fold, that we might be used, that we might allow ourselves to serve God according to his holy will. I'd like to turn to the 17th chapter of Alma. 71st verse. Page 441. I'm going to talk about that ball and that director that we saw Lehi, that compass that we showed that picture of. I hope you kids all know that story. He said, verse 71, and now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the thing which our fathers call a ball of director, or our fathers call it Lehona, which is being interpreted a compass. And the Lord prepared it. And behold, there cannot any man work after the manner of so curious a workmanship. And behold, it was prepared to show unto our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness. And it did work for them according to their faith in God. Therefore, if they had faith to believe that God could cause that these spindles should point the way they should go, behold, it was done. Therefore, they had this miracle, and also many other miracles wrought by the power of God, day and night. Nevertheless, because those miracles were worked by small means, by such a little thing as faith and a belief, and I trust. It did show unto them marvelous works. They were slothful and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence. And then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. Therefore, they tarried in a wilderness, or did not travel a direct course, nor were afflicted with hunger and thirst because of their transgressions. And now, my son, I would that you should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now these things were temporal, they did not prosper. Even so it is with things which are spiritual. For behold, it is easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point to you a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to that compass, which would point unto them a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as the directed did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a better land of promise. Oh, my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so was it with our fathers. For so was it prepared for them that if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with this, with us. The way is prepared, and if we will look, we may live forever. We have that a beautiful example for us. Easiness. But not, we cannot be slothful. We have the example of Moses lifting up the serpent on the cross. All they had to do is look. You know, we look back at that. What was wrong with those people, all those blessings? Why couldn't they do it? But it's a lesson to us. We're walking through the mist. We're trying to grab on to the get in the path. But we have to grab on to the word of Jesus Christ, and it'll lead us. We have to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. And I'm going to turn to that. Page 160-something in the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi, 13th chapter. We have to ask after baptism, and after we've entered into the water, is all done. In the 28th verse, it says, "No, I say unto you, nay. For you have not come thus far, saved by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life." Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. To the law, to the testimony. They speak not according to these words. There's no light in them. Not the cares of mankind, not our opinion, not our wishes, not what Uncle Charlie taught us. The words of Jesus Christ. The words that are preserved in the law and the testimony. The things that the prophets spoke so we would know our walk in life and where we are and the time we live in. We have been told this very day in a report from our brother in Honduras, young children having dreams of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Just as he proclaimed would happen in the last days. Our brother Moses' grandson having a dream about the last days. We don't know when, but the call is coming. Come ye my people, be my fishers, my hunters, be my banner, be my standard. Rise up, O Israel. For the blessings of God are available to us if we yield, if we come, if we do the will of God and allow him to direct us. May God bless us in our journey. May we remember. I was going to read the prayer of Enos, you know, and he prayed for himself. He prayed for his brethren. He prayed for his enemies, just like we're to. We're to pray for one another. We're to pray for ourselves that we might know the will of God. We're to pray for our brothers and sisters that we might be faithful. We're to pray for those that not know God, for our enemies, that their hearts would be touched, that God would be able to shape them and mold them. And he will bless us abundantly. Just as he has fulfilled the scriptures and the prophecies, he'll fulfill his promises because he's an unchangeable God. Thank you.